Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is October 4, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Payoneer rolls out international payments services. MasterCard launches Samsung Pay Cash. Digital bank Bunk expands across Europe. PayPal's Xoom launches bank deposits to South Korea. IDEMIA, IDEX Biometrics sign patent license agreement for on-card enrollment solutions. Payoneer broadens ex-border services to SMBs, partners with Brex. Ohio Treasurer suspends Bitcoin business tax payment program. This week in news, a roundup of top payment stories. In Australia, late payments under Gov microscope. How small FIS SMB lending journeys nudge the U.S. toward open banking. Wirecard and Libra Internet Bank team up with Rakuten Viber for instant messenger payments. B2B e-commerce tips the VC scales. MasterCard and Acorns join BlackRock's Emergency Savings Initiative. Now let's get started. Payoneer rolls out international payments services. Payoneer has announced a suite of new international payment services and partnerships for the U.S. business community. According to the press release, through the new services, SMBs can send payments to vendors, suppliers, and contractors anywhere in the world. Moreover, the company has unveiled a collaboration with Brex, adding to their ecosystem of partners who support SMB growth. With these new services and partnership, the company expands the array of payments tools available to U.S. businesses. With Payoneer, international transactions can be made globally via credit card, local bank transfer, and e-check. With the newly launched suite of payment services, businesses in the U.S. can send payments to any of their suppliers, set up recurring payments to pay regular retainers, send batch payments when required to pay multiple recipients at once, and track the transactions. MasterCard launches Samsung Pay Cash. MasterCard has partnered Samsung and Netspend, a manager of prepaid and debit card programs, to launch Samsung Pay Cash. Samsung Pay Cash is powered by a new virtual prepaid MasterCard and secured by MasterCard tokenization service, which lets consumers store and use their cards without exposing their 16-digit card number. It's the same service that already secures Samsung Pay. Samsung Pay Cash works wherever MasterCard and Samsung Pay contactless payment, and magnetic stripe cards are accepted in-store and increasingly at public transit turnstiles. User can manage budgets, keep money within Samsung Pay and earn rewards along the way. Samsung Pay Cash can be activated from the Samsung Pay app on all Samsung Pay eligible mobile phones in the U.S. Digital bank Bunk expands across Europe. Netherlands challenger bank Bunk has rolled out its travel card to all EU markets. The online bank offers a deposit account service and a travel card, which enables users to benefit from getting the real exchange rate, without any additional charges, anywhere in the world, the company says. Bunk was already available in the Netherlands, Germany, Italy, Spain, France, Ireland, Belgium and Austria, but now users from 30 countries will be able to sign up. The company claims that using the true exchange rate on purchases in foreign countries can help users save up to 3% on their spending every time they travel. Along with the geographic expansion, the company is also launching Google Pay and Apple Pay for its users in Ireland, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, and Belgium. Besides the standard travel card, Bunk also offers a business card, a premium card, and a joint card, which can be used by a couple. PayPal's Xoom launches bank deposits to South Korea. Xoom, PayPal's international money transfer service, has launched a money transfer service to bank accounts in South Korea. According to the press release, the service is available for customers in the US, UK, Canada and in 31 other markets across Europe. Funds sent via Xoom or mobile app to Kukmin Bank, Woori Bank, and Shinhan Bank can be accessed within minutes. Xoom is a service that allows users to send money, pay bills, and reload phones for their family or friends in over 160 countries globally. These remittances are used to pay utility bills, healthcare, education costs, and emergencies. According to World Bank data, the global remittance market is an estimated $689 billion in 2018, with South Koreans residing abroad remitting $6.2 billion in 2018. The U.S. alone has 1.4 million people who have immigrated from the Republic of Korea. IDEMIA, IDEX Biometrics sign patent license agreement for on-card enrollment solutions. IDEMIA and IDEX Biometrics have entered a worldwide license agreement for use of IDEX's biometric enrollment intellectual property. As per the agreement, IDEX has granted IDEMIA a license to use some IDEX patents in a bid to develop, manufacture, and sell on-card enrollment devices while benefiting from IDEMIA's biometric card software expertise. The announcement deepens the collaboration between IDEMIA and IDEX, which aims to develop biometric smart cards that can be supported by IDEX's on-card fingerprint enrollment patents. IDEX was granted foundational patents for devices and methods relating to on-card enrollment on biometric smart cards by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and IP Australia. On-card enrollment refers to the fact that a user is enabled to enroll onto a brand new biometric smart card in their own home. The cardholder may receive a new biometric smart card and a lightweight receptacle containing a power source through the mail. After that, the user inserts the card into the enrollment receptacle and simply touches the fingerprint sensor area on the card several times, without the need to visit a bank, to involve another device, apps, wireless pairing, or to have compatibility problems. Payoneer broadens ex-border services to SMBs, partners with Brex. Payments technology firm Payoneer has introduced a new cross-border service that includes functionality for small and medium-sized businesses, SMBs, the company announced Thursday, October 3. In a press release, Payoneer said its cross-border payment services, which initially rolled out with a focus on large, multinational conglomerates, are now available to SMBs, enabling U.S. companies of all sizes to send payments to their vendors and contractors across borders. In addition to the expanded services for SMBs, Payoneer also announced a partnership with commercial card startup Brex to facilitate international business payments to contractors. These new capabilities and partnerships fuel our mission to empower businesses to grow, said Payoneer VP, Regional Head of Americas Ian McNichol. More than ever, we're focused on the U.S. business community, and are making investments in helping them address the challenges of a digital, global world. By giving them access to the tools they need to expand and streamline operations, we continue to be the partner for growth for U.S. businesses. Payoneer added that its expanded global payment services will enable small businesses to establish recurring payments for regular retainers, initiate batch payments, and track their transactions across borders. In July, Payoneer announced a partnership with Saudi Arabia's PayTabs. Together, the businesses collaborate on a solution for B2B sellers that connect to buyers on proprietary websites, rather than large online marketplaces, and allow those sellers to accept payments and receive funds on their own platforms. In February, the company debuted a financing solution, its Capital Advance service, that connects e-commerce companies to working capital financing. Payoneer targets businesses that use online platforms like Amazon and Walmart to sell goods and connects them to financing with 90-day payment terms. It's an extension of the firm's early payments offering, which launched in 2017. Ohio Treasurer suspends Bitcoin business tax payment program. The state of Ohio has decided to end its support for Bitcoin tax payments, State Treasurer Robert Sprague announced this week. In a statement published on Sprague's official website this week, the treasurer said OhioCrypto.com, the website that allows businesses to pay their taxes in cryptocurrency, would be suspended immediately. It is vital that Ohio explores innovative, new technologies and processes that continue to drive Ohio into the future, he said. However, we must make sure any new processes that are implemented, such as OhioCrypto.com, are established in accordance with Ohio law. Sprague reportedly recommended to the State Board of Deposit that it request the Ohio Attorney General for a formal opinion on whether the tax payment program constituted a financial transaction device under state law. An internal review at the Treasurer's office earlier this year led Sprague to conclude that BitPay, the state's partner facilitating the tax payment option, is operating as a financial transaction device and should have gone through a competitive selection process to be chosen by state officials. As Ohio Treasurer, it's my job to provide trusted stewardship and protection of Ohio's tax dollars, and to follow the laws of this state, added Sprague. Until a formal opinion is issued by the Attorney General, I feel it is prudent to suspend the website. Ohio first announced its BitPay partnership last year to become the nation's first state that allows businesses to pay taxes in Bitcoin. Then State Treasurer John Mandel said the initiative would provide options and ease for business taxpayers, while also supporting the state's tech community. We really want to roll out the red carpet, and welcome all sorts of blockchain companies to Ohio, not just in the cryptocurrency space, but in a variety of different use cases, he told CNBC at the time. This week in news, a roundup of top payment stories. From relevant M&A stories, to not-so-fun data breaches or daring expansion plans that have surfaced in the media, here is the paper's weekly industry news roundup. There has been no shortage of mergers and acquisitions, as well as exciting partnerships, mostly prominent in the online payments and e-commerce scene. However, ATOs sets the tone with an acquisition in the digital ID field, and the online gambling and betting vertical saw some pretty disruptive updates this week. Samsung Pay, Fina BLR sign cross-border payments agreement. PayPal enters digital payments market in China with GoPay acquisition. Worldline completes the acquisition of the minority stake in Aquens. Worldline ATOs secures cybersecurity and digital identity management position with Idnomic acquisition. Paddy Power. Betfair merges with PokerStars. We can't talk about this week without mentioning some of the wider impact news, which is also quite a hot topic at the moment, such as the fact that Visa, MasterCard, and other financial partners have reconsidered their involvement to help build and maintain Facebook's Libra payments network. Also on the Crypto Newswire, Ukraine's Ministry of Digital Transformation has announced its plans to legalize Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. On this note, we should also bring up security breaches. The fraud prevention solution provider sector's bread and butter. An operational glitch at NatWest exposed online account details to wrong customers. Corporates, banks, fintechs and PSPs have all seen quite a whirl of industry innovation and product launches this past week, from news of a possible new and improved addition to the OnePlus product line, FX payments, multi-merchant loyalty tools to another update in the trade finance space from HSBC, MasterCard launches Samsung Pay Cash. Wirecard rolls out multi-merchant loyalty solution AirPay, Instagram to launch FX payments solution, HSBC launches trade finance API for bank guarantees. OnePlus announces plans for OnePlus Pay launch. Thales presents details for Gemalto biometrics and digital identity business integration. Lastly, it's always thrilling to see which bands are on tour this week. While there have been quite a few relevant expansion news in the payments and fintech industry, here are the ones that really caught our eye. PayPal-backed German fintech startup Raisin launches in Ireland. Visa chosen by Revolut as issuing partner for global expansion. Rapid secures $100 million MLN in funding to fuel global fintech as a service expansion. In Australia, late payments under Gov microscope. In Australia, scrutiny of late payments is deepening. As reported this past week, the country's Federal Labour Party issued a statement that it has brought complaints about lengthening payment terms to the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, ACCC. As reported by My Business, the statement noted that the ACCC has begun investigating the extended payment times and reverse factoring that have impacted small businesses, SMBs, in the country, and that a number of SMBs have complained about those practices. The statement was signed jointly by Shadow Minister for Small and Family Business Brendan O'Connor, Shadow Assistant Treasurer Stephen Jones and Shadow Minister Assisting for Small and Family Business Matt Keogh. The statement said, the ACCC investigation was prompted by correspondence from Federal Labor, following a number of serious concerns raised by small business suppliers, including through our Small Business Listening Tour. Labor has long maintained concerns about large businesses extending payment times to small business suppliers sometimes as long as 90 days after invoicing. We are particularly concerned about the increasing prevalence of reverse factoring where payment times are extended, and small businesses are offered a third-party financier to pay the invoice on time, but with a fee, meaning small businesses aren't receiving full reimbursement. The party has maintained that smaller firms are afraid of reprisal, should they go public with the way they've been treated by larger firms. The officials have called on the government to take action against those payment practices. One suggestion has been that a market study be conducted. As reported, data from Ilion shows that late payments in the country stand at an average of just more than 10 days. Drilling down into construction. Separately, in the construction industry, Rabbit, which makes finance software for that vertical, released its 2019 construction payments report this week, finding that 72% of subcontractors would offer payment discounts to be paid within 30 days, a practice that would save the industry $44 billion. Cash flow issues tied to floating payments to staff and other activities add more than 5% to project costs. In addition, 30% of respondents said that work has been delayed, or even discontinued, in the wake of late payments to their own staff. As much as 63% of respondents said subcontractors chose not to bid on certain projects due to the reputation that contractors may have had in terms of late payments. Roughly 43% of subcontractors wait between 30 days to 60 days for payments, and 30% wait more than 60 days. In terms of individual company announcements, Barclaycard Commercial Payments has launched an online hub, PrecisionPay Hub, designed to streamline payments in the UK. Timely payments, the firm said, has been an area of concern for the buyer-supplier relationship. Timely payments happen only 73% of the time, as measured on average. More than 60% of more than 500 senior managers in the UK said they are more concerned by timely payments than they were even 5 years ago, noted the survey. The company said that PrecisionPay Hub sets up a platform where buyers and suppliers can interact, agree on payment terms and transact, which reduces days sales outstanding. How small FIS SMB lending journeys nudge the US toward open banking. To service Main Street businesses, it's an obvious advantage for a financial institution to actually be on Main Street. For community banks and credit unions, their physical proximity to the small businesses they're servicing is often pointed out as a major advantage these smaller players hold over the big banks, enabling these FIS to develop deeper relationships with their small to medium-sized business SMB clients, anticipate their needs and establish trust. But it's undeniable that larger FIS also have a major leg up over community banks and credit unions, which often comes in the form of a greater pool of resources from which to draw upon when upgrading and digitizing services. The PYMNT's September Credit Union Tracker pointed to the growing pressure for credit unions to respond to their members' rising demands for mobile-friendly platforms, faster payment services, and other modern financial products. As Mark Rockefeller, co-founder and chief executive officer of Small Business Lending as a Service Provider StreetShares, told PYMNTS in a recent interview, that pressure to digitize expands to credit unions and community banks in their SMB lending offerings, too, and do it profitably. With bigger banks, some of them have more software engineers than Google, he said. This is an extraordinary thing. They view themselves as technology companies on the other side of the spectrum. You've got community banks and credit unions. Of the thousands of these players operating in the US today, only a small fraction offer a fully digital small business lending experience, he said, and that means these players are losing out to their larger rivals. Without the resources to build out their own digital SMB lending platforms, the natural next step is to collaborate with fintechs, a strategy that today has become commonplace for financial institutions big and small. But it's particularly important for community banks and credit unions, said Rockefeller, because as millennial, and now even Gen Z small business owners enter into the fold, the bare minimum in small business lending expectations is for a 100% digital experience. If smaller players can't build that themselves, they must collaborate to offer it to their SMB clients. The open banking trajectory. This need to collaborate with fintechs has ushered in a new trajectory in small business lending, one that has led to the rise in banking as a service. Rockefeller described the current model for banks as a pyramid, at the base is the bank's core infrastructure, upon which platform service providers sit, upon which various apps and plugins sit. In StreetShares' case, its small business lending as a service offering does not integrate directly into bank's core infrastructure, but rather wraps around it, he said. Along this banking as a service trajectory also sits the opportunity for open banking to become a business model that would enable financial institutions to more efficiently offer digital banking services and products to their clients, an attractive proposition for community banks and credit unions looking to bolster their small business lending offerings. According to Rockefeller, however, challenges pertaining to infrastructure and data security had resulted in what he described as a half-step toward open banking in the U.S. rather than third parties having to integrate directly into banks' core systems, they can sit on top of them, like the aforementioned pyramid. While Rockefeller said it's unclear whether the U.S. is headed in the direction of full-blown open banking, the banking-as-a-service model of sitting on top of, not within, banking systems seems to be the way the market is going. Non-banks enter the fold. In markets like the UK and Europe, open banking regulations exist to promote competition and enable fintechs to strengthen their service offerings to customers. In the US, this half-step toward open banking and the growing prominence of banking as a service is similarly adding weight behind fintech competition, and that includes in the small business lending space. Even payment companies now are becoming lenders, he said. PayPal and Square are some of the largest small business lenders right now in America at this point. You're seeing the rise in non-traditional players in the space, and that's made possible by the fact everything is now as a service. You don't have to be a bank to offer these things. This presents an interesting conundrum for community banks and credit unions. While banking and small business lending as a service offerings make it easier for these players to jump on the digital SMB lending bandwagon, it also makes it possible for new industry competitors to do the same. Rockefeller said this is undoubtedly a good thing for companies like StreetShares. For financial service providers, meanwhile, what's certain is competing in the small business lending space means, at a bare minimum, offering a 100% digital, omni-channel experience. Differentiating from the competition will look different for different players, whether that means data security, value-added products and services, or otherwise. And whether the U.S. is taking a half step or a whole step toward open banking, the competitive headwinds seem to be on the rise. For smaller FIs to compete, Rockefeller said, they need to have access to the same technologies that larger players in fintechs have. The future is already here, it's just not evenly distributed, he said. Banking technology is here, it's just not in the hands of smaller banks. Wirecard and Libra Internet Bank team up with Rakuten Viber for instant messenger payments. Wirecard, the global innovation leader for digital financial technology, is working with Rakuten Viber and its partner NeoPay to launch a new money transfer service for users of Viber, the secure instant messaging app. With MoneyToo, powered by MasterCard, users will be able to quickly and securely send money to each other via the popular messaging app, which has over 1 billion users worldwide. Wirecard will process these peer-to-peer P2P transactions made with payment cards linked to the MoneyToo service, with Libra Internet Bank acting as the local acquirer. After the upcoming launch in Hungary, the service will quickly roll out across other Eastern European markets, targeting 25 million users in the first phase. Today's digitally savvy consumers increasingly crave the ability to make payments quickly and easily in a wide variety of ways, whether that is via traditional card products or through payment apps. P2P payment services such as MoneyToo have rocketed in popularity in recent years. Recent research by Early Warning Services suggested that 3/4 75% of millennials and over 2/3 69% of Gen Zers have used P2P as a method to send or receive money from businesses, family or friends. According to eMarketer, over $200 billion is expected to flow through P2P payment methods next year in the U.S. alone. Speed is of the essence in today's digitally transformed society. With MoneyToo, the transferred funds will appear in the recipient's balance almost instantaneously, allowing them to be spent by card or withdrawn in cash. Further, to ensure a smooth and user-friendly experience, customers can register multiple cards within the Viber app. All transactions between users are processed by Wirecard. Rakuten Viber messaging is extremely popular, with the service now boasting over 1 billion registered users worldwide, explains UTKU Ograndil, Regional Managing Director of Wirecard. For some time, users have used the app to share photos and videos. The ability to also share funds was the next logical step, and we are proud to be one of the launch partners for this new service. Whether wanting to split a restaurant bill, collect money for a joint wedding gift, or giving a child their pocket money, it can be done by just a few clicks. Our mission has always been to bring valuable solutions to users. We're happy to announce the launch of MoneyToo, coming soon in collaboration with companies such as MasterCard, NeoPay and Wirecard. By using Wirecard's card processing expertise and technical support, we will be able to ensure a smooth, hassle-free experience for users wanting to instantly transfer funds to friends and family via Viber. We are excited to roll this out to a larger list of markets by the end of the year, comments Christina Constandash, Chief Revenue Officer at Rakuten Viber. It's really exciting to be part of this project with Wirecard and to contribute to a unique payment solution that has the potential to be a winner in the entire region. This kind of partnership is perfectly suited to our organization, as we are highly customer-oriented, agile and digital-intensive, said Emil Betulianu, CEO of Libra Internet Bank. To transfer funds to family or friends, users will simply tap a separate MoneyToo icon within the Rakuten Viber messaging app without the need for lengthy bank account numbers or sort codes. Users will be able to send up to 125,000 Hungarian forints a month, and up to 780,000 Hungarian forints a year. Rakuten Viber is a free, fast and secure messaging and calling application available on Android, iPhone and iPad, Microsoft Windows, macOS and Linux. Over 1 billion users worldwide use Viber to communicate with their loved ones through high-quality audio and video calls, messaging, and much more. All Viber calls and chats are protected by built-in end-to-end encryption, so you can be sure that your conversations are always secure. Viber also provides a paid international landline and mobile calling service called Viber Out to reach anyone, even if they don't have Viber. B2B e-commerce tips the VC scales. More than $874 million in fresh funding landed at B2B startups this week across a range of market segments and geographies. An Egyptian firm landed the MENA region's largest ever seed round, a California company proved US-based alternative small business lending ISNT dead with investors, and an India startup landed more than half a billion dollars. See all of the latest B2B fundraises below. Finbox. India's Finbox landed an undisclosed amount of pre-Series A funding, reports in Inc. 42 said this week, with investors at Arali Ventures leading the investment in the credit risk management technology startup. Finbox works with other lenders to underwrite financing to self-employed, small merchants and new-to-credit customers, reports said. Finbox plans to use the investment on product research and development. DivaPay. Australia's ANZ Bank led a $1.56 million investment round in commercial card startup DivaPay, reports said this week, via the bank's venture capital unit ANZ. Seed Space Ventures and former Pepper Money chief executive Patrick Tuttle also participated. DivaPay offers a virtual card generation tool that enables businesses and their managers to oversee employee spend, set controls and analyze expense behavior. DivaPay also integrates into businesses' existing financial platforms, including Xero and QuickBooks. The firm plans to deploy the investment to bolster its staff levels and strengthen its product offering. File. India-based expense management startup File announced $4.5 million in fresh funding this week led by US-based Steadview Capital, adding to the previous Series A round announced in April. Tiger Global, Freshworks and Pravega Ventures also participated, a press release said. Now that File has officially launched operations, the company said it would deploy the funding to focus on product innovation and global growth and to invest in sales and marketing efforts. Maxab. Egypt's Maxib demonstrates the strengthening fintech scene of the country, with investors placing $6.2 million in the B2B e-commerce startup, Menabytes reports said. The round marks the largest ever seed round raised by a startup in the Middle East North Africa (MENA) region. Co-led by Biko Capital, 4DX Ventures and Endure Capital, Maxab's funding will be used to focus on gaining traction across Egypt and, eventually, other markets. Investors at 500 startups, Outliers Ventures and others also participated, according to reports. Maxab targets informal food and grocery retailers and suppliers, connecting them on a digital platform to conduct trade. SazOptics. Headquartered in Georgia, SazOptics operates a B2B SaaS subscription management platform with integrated invoicing and payments for SaaS firms. The company said in a press release this week it has raised $12 million in Series B funding led by Fulcrum Equity Partners, which provided a combination of equity and debt, including a Silicon Valley Bank credit line. SazOptics said it will deploy the funding to invest in engineering and product management. Forwardline Financial. Positioned as a non-bank small business lender, California's Forwardline Financial secured $20 million in growth capital, reports said this week, with investors at Five Oceans Capital and Marisco Enterprises leading the fundraise. The alternative lender provides financing to small businesses as well as payment processing services to those borrowers. Forwardline said it plans to deploy the capital to bolster its loan origination initiatives. Katabook. India-based Katabook offers digital bookkeeping and online payment acceptance solutions for businesses, and has just raised $25 million in Series A funding in support of its offering. GGV Capital, partners of DST Global, RTP Ventures, Sequoia India, Tencent, Y Combinator and other investors also participated, with the investment also seeing contributions from more than 20 angel investors. The company said it will use the investment to develop new features for its B2B offering, with a focus on billing and invoicing. Clicks Capital. Non-bank financial company Clicks Capital, based in India, announced a $40 million fundraise this week led by Ion Capital, Inc. 42 reported. The alternative small business lending platform said it will use the funding to expand into consumer lending while also building out its existing SMB lending platform. Clicks Capital launched after acquiring assets from GE Capital, reports noted. nCino. Cloud banking technology firm nCino said it raised $80 million in new funding, the company told PYMNTS this week. Funds and accounts advised by T. Rowe Price Associates led the round, according to a press release, while existing investor Salesforce Ventures also participated. The company said it plans to use the investment to propel innovation of its bank operating system, and specifically to invest in research and development, international growth, talent acquisition and employee development. Rapid. With $100 million in new funding, Rapid plans to expand its API platform used by business clients to empower its own capabilities, including online checkout, funds collection, funds disbursement, compliance, foreign exchange management, card issuing and more. The company, based in London, also plans to use the funding to finance future acquisitions and team expansions. Oak HC, FT led the funding, as reported, while Tiger Global, Coatue, General Catalyst, Target Global, Stripe and Entra Capital also participated. Greensill Capital. Though new funding for the controversial trade finance startup has not been confirmed, the Financial Times reported this week that SoftBank's Vision Fund is planning to top up its investment in the UK. Fintech. Citing unnamed sources, the publication said the new investment would add to the previous $800 million the Vision Fund provided earlier this year, which pushed Greensill's valuation to an estimated $3.5 million. The sources said SoftBank plans to place a few hundred million dollars into Greensill. Both Greensill and SoftBank declined to comment. Udaan. With more than half $1 billion in new funding, India-based B2B e-commerce startup Udaan takes the lead in this week's B2B venture capital roundup. Udon announced $585 million in Series D funding led by Tencent, Altimeter, Footpath Ventures, Hill House, GGV Capital and City Ventures, while existing backers Lightspeed Venture Partners and DST Global also participated. Udon focuses on smaller, family-owned stores, chemists and other small businesses, enabling them to search for and procure goods online across a range of product categories. As Udon continues to focus on bringing more businesses onto its platform, the company said it will focus on monetization and revenue-generating models moving forward. MasterCard and Acorns join BlackRock's Emergency Savings Initiative. UPS, MasterCard, Etsy, Brightside, Arizona State University, and Acorns will join BlackRock's Emergency Savings Initiative to help their employees, customers, gig workers, and college students take the essential first step towards long-term financial well-being. With nearly 40% of Americans lacking enough savings to cover a $400 emergency expense without selling something or borrowing money, BlackRock's flagship philanthropic initiative aims to help 1 million people establish a financial safety net. Each partner participating in the initiative will work with experts from Common Sense Lab, Commonwealth, and/or the Financial Health Network, three nonprofits focused on consumer financial health. Funded by BlackRock's previously announced $50 million philanthropic commitment, the nonprofits will work with these organizations to build, test, and pilot custom solutions. Proven innovations will be used, such as behavioral nudges, prize-linked savings, rounding up transactions or rounding down deposits, and percent-based automatic savings transfers aligned with income. Addressing financial security is one of the key social issues of our time and it can't be solved by any one organization on its own, said Deborah Winchell, Global Head of Social Impact at BlackRock. The magnitude of this issue demands that institutions work together to help broaden the opportunity for people to build emergency savings. It is why we are so proud to bring together such innovative employers, retailers, fintechs, educators, and nonprofits. With these organizations stepping up as leaders, the real work is just beginning. Each organization will help tackle the challenge with an approach aligned to its business and people. UPS, a global leader in logistics, is focused on understanding the financial needs and challenges of its employees in order to deliver them the most effective savings solution. MasterCard, a technology company in the global payments industry, will work with a select group of its customers such as financial institutions, merchants, and other corporate partners to research, enhance, and test a variety of savings strategies. Etsy, a global marketplace for unique and creative goods, will conduct research on its sellers' financial challenges and help them build a savings cushion with the support of a goals-based financial app. Launching in early 2020, the solution will be available to U.S. sellers through Etsy's seller platform. Brightside, an employee financial health platform, will build a saving solution that helps employers and their employees address financial challenges such as reducing debt and gaining access to emergency cash. Arizona State University, the nation's fastest-growing public research university, is expected to work with nonprofit experts to co-design financial health tools and strategies to help its students, communities, and partners. Acorns, the fastest-growing financial wellness system in the U.S. with 6.2 million accounts, will research and design new emergency savings solutions that can be added as a feature on its financial wellness platform. Additional partners are expected to join the initiative imminently, with a planned expansion to the United Kingdom in 2020. Executive quotes from the Emergency Savings Initiative's nonprofit industry experts. Insufficient savings remains a barrier to financial health for millions of people across the country, said Jennifer Tesher, president and CEO of the Financial Health Network. It is encouraging to see a wide array of organizations spanning multiple industries take on the savings crisis. They are stepping forward to advocate for their employees, customers, and students' well-being and long-term financial health. Enabling savings for workers, customers, and students is both achievable and provides business value, such as stronger productivity. Yet, for organizations with competing priorities, it can still be a challenge, said Timothy Flackey, co-founder and executive director of Commonwealth. Under the Emergency Savings Initiative, we're able to bring decades of design, implementation, and impact assessment experience to our corporate partners. This is a golden opportunity for partners to tap outside help to bolster their stakeholders' financial security. Common Sense Lab has an extensive history of fostering healthy financial behaviors and interventions through extensive research on human thought, behavior, and decision-making, said Mariel Beasley, co-founder of Common Sense Lab. This initiative offers a new opportunity to bring behavioral economics to an engaged and diverse audience in order to make a large-scale impact on the savings epidemic. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.